The reading this morning is Psalm 73. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold. For I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They're free from the burdens common to man. They're not plagued by human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. From their callous hearts comes inequity. The evil conceits of their minds know no limits. They scoff and speak with malice. In their arrogance they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven, and their tongues take possession of the earth. Therefore their peoples turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. They say, "How can God know? Does the Most High have knowledge?" This is what the wicked are like, always carefree. They increase in wealth. Surely in vain have I kept my heart pure. In vain have I washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been plagued. I've been punished every morning. If I had said, "I will speak thus," I would have betrayed your children. When I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me, until I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny. Surely you place them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly they are destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. As a dream when one awakes, so when you arise, O Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. When my heart was grieved and my spirit was embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterwards you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And we pray that each one of us will have open eyes, open ears, and open hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I'm going to start by asking you a question that I hope you won't find offensive. But I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up either. Has anyone this morning in church told either a little fib or a great big lie? This morning... If someone said to you this morning, "How are you?" how did you answer? Actually, most of the people I spoke to this morning answered quite honestly. Some of them said, "Could be better." Some of them said, "Got problems." Some of them said all sorts of other things. But isn't the stock Christian answer to say, fine, thanks? Fine, thanks. Okay. Even though you may have come here this morning feeling down, depressed, or doubting. Maybe even the songs that we sang this morning just didn't seem to reflect the way you feel this morning, or what you believe this morning. Perhaps you can remember when you were younger singing, I'm H-A-P-P-Y. I know I am, I'm sure I am, I'm H-A-P-P-Y, through gritted teeth. Now I'm happy all the day. I feel like singing all the time. Not a cloud in the sky, is not a tear. Life is wonderful. Those things can be true. But not on those days when we feel far from happy and not full of faith. Like David, who wrote about mixed emotions in his Psalms, Asaph tells us exactly how he's feeling. He would have appreciated the words of two songs that we sing. Come those whose joy is morning song, and those weeping in the night. Come those who tell of battles won, and those struggling in the fight. We come to worship this morning, but that doesn't necessarily mean that our battles are won, that we're feeling happy and joyful, but we still want to worship God. And then the song that was sung so wonderfully at your wedding. In my wrestling and in my doubt, in my failures, you won't walk out. Your great love will see me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. In the silence, you won't let go. In my questions, your truth will hold. Your great love will see me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. I will trust the promise. You will lead me safe to shore. However we're feeling this morning, we can all gain strength and hope from the words of Asaph. So, who was Asaph? Well, he was the worship leader for King David. He was a great composer. He was a family man whose sons followed in his footsteps. They are known as, quite obviously, the sons of Asaph. And he was a writer of 11 or 12 of our Psalms. One book said 12. I tried to count them up and it said 11. So you can check when you go home. Psalm 73 is an example of a believer going through times of difficulty, injustice and doubt. And just in case we judge him, Asaph is not alone in these struggles. Throughout the scriptures we see many people going through the same experiences. Elijah, not long after his victory at Mount Carmel, prays to die. Jeremiah is having such a tough time that he begs to be released from his ministry. And in prison, John the Baptist questioned who Jesus was. We, like them, all have to deal with the difficulties and injustices of our own lives, our friends and families' lives, and the life of the world. You know, sometimes we feel a bit guilty or afraid to talk about our doubts, but we needn't be. We can be honest like Asaph. And remember, only a believer can truly doubt, as an atheist expects nothing from God. So, Asaph begins his psalm by affirming the goodness of God and the fact that God is good to the upright and pure in heart. But his current experience doesn't seem to match up with what he said and what he sang. His life seems to contain affliction, punishment, trouble, and pain. The Old Testament view was that God blessed the good and punished the sinful. Remember Job? You must have done something wrong for all of these bad things to happen. If you were really good, if you were really faithful to God, everything would be wonderful. Unfortunately, we still hear that today sometimes, don't we? And it's not true. God is good, but there are times when it seems to us that we wonder what's going on. Asaph wondered why he was suffering. He'd kept his heart pure. He'd kept himself innocent. Well, not saying he was perfect, because no one is perfect. But he'd done his best with God's help to be the best that he could be, keeping God's law, doing what God wanted, worshipping God. And he asked this question, is it all in vain? Why have I bothered? Why have I bothered? Nothing good is happening to me at the moment. God seems far away. God's not keeping his promises. What's going on? Again, I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up. Do you ever feel like that? I can see a few nods. Good. Not that I'm glad you feel like that, but let's be honest about it. Yeah, we do feel like that sometimes, don't we? What's going on? And Asaph here, in verse 3, he starts comparing his life with the life of the wicked. Those who don't love God. Those who are living not according to God's way. Those who are not trying to keep his law. And he says, it's not fair. I envied them when I saw what they had. Although they're proud, although they're arrogant, although they're indifferent to God, they're much better off than those of us who do love God, including himself. He thinks about the fact that those who are, listen to this description, callous, violent, evil, malicious, and mockers of God. Now, they're the ones that are going to suffer, aren't they? But Asaph sees that they're prosperous, struggle-free, healthy, unburdened, carefree, and wealthy. And he's envious. And he's troubled by this. And surely isn't that a right reaction? Shouldn't we be troubled when we see that people who do wrong, people who mock God, people who don't want anything to do with God, seem to be doing really well? He honestly tells God how he feels. He admits that he's envious. I envied the arrogant. He questions the goodness of God. He wonders if he has done something wrong. He keeps using the word punishment. Has he trusted God in vain? Has God kept his promises or not? And these are questions that maybe you still ask, and many people in the world still ask today. Is God powerful? Is God faithful? Is God loving? Is God just? If so, why does it seem that evil triumphs and those who are trusting in him aren't doing so well? However, even in his times of trouble, he wants to spend time with and worship God. And he enters the house of God. And that returns his thoughts to their true perspective. When we have times of trouble and doubt, it's really important to do these things. Read God's word. Read God's word. Because our feelings and our thoughts can often wipe that out until we read it again. We can be controlled by our feelings. We can be controlled by our doubts. We need to read God's word. Reread his promises. Reread what he has done. We need to meet with his people to find support and encouragement. In Hebrews, we read these words. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart. That means being honest. With full assurance that faith brings. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who is promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together. In verse 17, as he sits in God's presence, he understands that life without God, both now and in eternity, is not worth living. However good it appears now, You know, I sometimes wonder, is it really that good, or do we get a twisted idea? We look at people and we think, well, they don't love God, but they've got this, 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 and this. But we don't know what's going on behind the scenes, do we? Those people who seem to have everything, those people who have all the riches and the cars and the yachts and the beautiful wife or the handsome husband. What's going on behind? We don't know, do we? But however good life is, without the Lord Jesus, in the end, it is doomed to fail. It will end in sadness and regret. He says here, I saw their end. Remember, Jesus said, what does it gain a person if they gain the whole wide world and lose their soul? We need to remember that everyone, including those who seemingly have everything, need to know and trust in Jesus. Some of his words seem a bit harsh, don't they? He says, I saw their end and they're going to slip and God's... I think we have to be careful, don't we? That when we think about people who don't know the Lord, let's not be pleased if they're going to be punished. Let's not say, serve them right. Reading one of Philip Yancey's books, he was writing about a friend of his, and someone had written and said, we know about your friend, and happily he will spend all eternity in hell. Philip Yancey wrote back and said, surely you don't mean happily, and he said, yes, I do. Really? If we believe that people need Jesus in this life and in eternity, that shouldn't make us gloat, should it? I hope Asaph wasn't gloating. I saw their end and I saw that I was better than them. Asaph sees that when life doesn't make sense, he can still trust God. At the end, he says these wonderful words, earth has nothing that I desire beside you. He wouldn't change his place with the unbeliever for anything. You know, we know so much more than Asaph, don't we? We know about Jesus, we know about the cross, we know about the resurrection, we know about the certainty of heaven, where it was all a bit cloudy in the Old Testament. But he still trusted and believed. And it reminded me of a song that was written, I think probably in the 50s. And these words are very challenging. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. It's a bit like the old-fashioned version of what we sang earlier. Nothing compares with you. I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. Those words are challenging, aren't they? I know they are for me. Because I like a lot of the things in this world. But if they were taken away and I only had Jesus. But Asaph says, earth has nothing I desire but you. Whom have I in heaven but you? I'm going to trust you. He comes to realize that his relationship with God was eternal, so that he can trust his promises, even if his heart and his flesh fail. He learnt what Paul says in 2 Corinthians. We walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by feeling. And I just love these verses at the end of this psalm. Let me just read them again. Verse 23. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterwards you will take me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire beside you. My heart and my flesh may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I don't think by the end of this psalm that his circumstances had changed. But his attitude, his perspective has changed. Because he sees the greatness and love and power of God, he decides that he's going to trust in God. Why? He is always with God. Do you ever feel far away from God? He's always with you. You are always with him. I never liked that saying when people used to say, do you ever feel far away from God? Guess who's moved? It's you. I don't like that. I don't like it. God lives inside us, so we can't have moved away from him. We're always with God because we belong to him. He is always with us. Because if we put our trust in him, his Holy Spirit lives in our hearts. So he cannot leave us. He cannot forsake us. He is always with us by definition. Even if we don't feel that. God will hold Asaph's hand. Hold him by his right hand. To keep him steady. To help him walk. He will lead him. He will guide him. And one day he will take him home to glory. What wonderful words those are. I don't know how you're feeling this morning. I don't know if you feel far away from God or close to him. I don't know if you feel that God is wonderful to you or that God is letting you down in some way. I don't know if you feel all your prayers have been answered wonderfully or, well, life is tough at the moment. But this psalm reminds us that even when we feel like that, God is with us. God will hold us. God will lead us. And one day, rather than our end being sad and regretful, it will be a glorious end. In fact, it will be a beginning, because we will be taken home to glory. And as a result of that, he will make the Lord his refuge. He will trust in him. He will find strength in him. And he will tell others of his greatness and his love. As we go through times of trial and doubt, may each one of us, like Asaph, be able to be honest about it. Maybe not telling everybody, but telling God, telling our close friends, our companion. Also to trust in his faithfulness and that love from which we can never be separated. We know these wonderful words from the book of Romans. What or who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword, death, life, angels, demons, the present, the future, any powers, height, depth, and just in case you think of anything else, nothing else in all creation can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ. So let's be honest. Remember the Father in the New Testament who said to Jesus, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And let us look to God in our times of trouble. One of the hymns that we love to sing, and I like the new versions, but I prefer the older version because it's got more verses. You probably know the story of Horatio Spafford, an American with a family, and one day his business collapsed, lost everything. So he thought he would make a new start, leaving America and sailing to Europe. But he sent his family on ahead. And while they were sailing home, his four daughters were all drowned. His wife survived, but his four children didn't. When he got on the next ship and he passed over the place where they had died, he wrote the words of this hymn. You'll know it. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, you have taught me to know it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and to shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. We're not saying, well, I'm going to heaven one day, it doesn't matter what goes on down here. I'm sure every so often Horatio Spafford said to God, why did you take my daughters? Even years after it happened. But deep down he knew that it was well with his soul, that he belonged to God forever and nothing would ever separate him. It's my prayer that each one of us this morning, first of all, knows that it's well with our soul. That when we get to the end of life's journey, we will be going to glory because we put our trust in Christ. And in these years in between, however long those years are, whether they're good or hard, whether they're happy or sad, whether we understand them, whether we don't, whether like David and Asaph, we occasionally say, I don't know what's going on. Because it's well with our souls, we can trust God for the rest. You know, I often say, we easily trust God for all eternity. But sometimes we don't trust him for 60, 70, 80, 90 years down here. If we can trust our eternal souls into God's hands, even when we don't understand what he allows, even when we don't understand what he does, we can trust him with our life here. And so we think of Asaph this morning. Envious, perplexed, confused. But when he sees the truth of who God is and what God has done and what God will do, he will trust until that time that he sees him face to face. Amen. Let us pray. There is a hope that lifts my weary head, a consolation strong against despair, that when the world has plunged me in its deepest pit, I find my Saviour there. Through present sufferings, future's fear, he whispers courage in my ear, for I am safe in everlasting arms, and he will lead me home. Lord Jesus, we thank you for these words of comfort, and we pray that as we go into this new week, we might trust in you with all our hearts. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace today and always. Amen. Amen. Shall we bless each other with the words of the grace? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.